Get your Bibles, and we're going to pick up where we left off Sunday night. And the Lord's really impressing me very strongly about this. We started Sunday morning. Sunday night was part two, and tonight is part three. And I'm not sure how far along this is going to go. I just know it's going to go until it's done. I guess that's a pretty fair assessment, huh? But anyway, what I'm sharing with you, quite honestly, you know, if there's one thing I could, if I could open you up and just put something down on the inside of you, it would be to catch the importance of this message. God's goal for us, you know, yes, we're supposed to be soul winners, and yes, we're supposed to fulfill our ministry, whatever our calling is, doesn't matter what it is, we're supposed to fulfill that. And we're also supposed to spend time in fellowship with Him, you know, prayer, and, you know, we've got the Word, and all these things that we've talked about, and all of those are extremely important. But the goal that God's working on, in other words, what He wants to see us reach, is a deeper level and a deeper level and then a deeper level even still of His love. Amen. Walking in His love. That is the goal. Above and beyond anything else, that is the goal. And Jesus was the perfect example of that. Now, sometimes we get love and tolerance a little confused. Sometimes we confuse putting up with a bunch of junk as tolerance. And we can almost get to the point to where we could maybe even feel a little bit of condemnation because we get angry about something. Now, I want you to think about Jesus. If anybody ever on planet Earth walked in love, it was Jesus, was it not? But now, did Jesus ever get angry? Well, you better believe He did. Remember the fellow with the withered hand? They wanted to mess up Jesus. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Jesus, He's looking around at these Pharisees, and He knew what those guys, those Sadducees, He knew what was going on in their hearts. And here's this fella standing there with this withered hand. And Jesus says, stretch forth your hand. And He was angry at all those hypocrites because they professed themselves to be something that they really weren't. And He got angry. Remember, He goes into the temple, the money changers. He got angry, did He not? Takes that whip, starts chasing. Now, you can believe whatever you want, but I won't be surprised if when we get to heaven, there's a little Pharisee flesh on the tips of that whip. I won't be one bit surprised if when He's cracking that, He caught a few on the backside as they're trying to get away. Now, I don't have scripture to prove that, but it won't surprise me. He got angry. The Bible even says, talks about being angry, but sin not. And oftentimes what happens in the body of Christ, we put up with stuff that we don't always have to put up with. And we're not here to really go into that a whole lot tonight, but there are standards that God has established for the body of Christ right here in His Word. Now, when it comes to people who don't know Jesus, what else can you expect? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they're lost, if they're going to hell and they end up acting like jerks, why be surprised? I mean, if they act like terrorists and kill people, why should we be surprised? I mean, these people are just going deeper and deeper into their nature. You see what I'm saying? So it really shouldn't surprise us when people act like that. But in the body of Christ, there's a standard. There's a standard, see? For example, in the body of Christ today, Christians, there seems to be a tremendous amount of tolerance for, say, divorce. Now, I know divorce happens, and sometimes it's like you get a hold of, I mean, he or she is just a stubborn old ox, and they're going to do what they're going to do, and they just, I mean, they go. And the only thing you could do, maybe to hog time or whatever, and you do spiritual warfare, but for whatever the reason, they still end up going. All right? So I know that happens. I'm talking about a tolerance for something like that, for divorce. Well, you know, it just happens. No, it doesn't just happen. Somebody missed God. When Christians split up like that, somebody or both of them miss God. Because if both are walking hand in hand with Jesus, there won't be divorce. You see, it just won't happen. And so we have a scriptural right to be angry over certain things like that. But the difference is how we react toward the people. See, we may not agree and we can get angry about some of these things, but we still need to react in a demonstration of God's love. And the demonstrations of God's love sometimes takes a whip and chases the money changers. You see what I'm saying? Now, open up to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and if you have a marker, put it there, because we will read, leave, and go back. And our next passage after we leave Ephesians chapter 3 is going to be over in 1 John chapter 4. So we're going to look at some of the passages that we've already looked at, but we're going to be looking at them in a variation of what we've already seen. Similar, but then just a little bit different to lead into what we want to look at tonight. Because tonight we're going to take a look at some more of the reasons why it's extremely important for us to go deeper into God's love. And again, this is such a, in many cases, it's such a candy-coated message. Well, you know, you got to love everybody. And we interpret love as being nice to people. You just got to be nice to people. That's not it. See? Nice people are going to hell, because they're not born again. Even sinners can force themselves to be nice. Love goes beyond nice. Love goes beyond the smiley face that you have. Love goes beyond all of that. Love is what's taking place on the inside of you. Love is what's happening on the inside of your heart. All right? Now, I mean, you got to think of it like this. Do you think God just started loving people in the New Testament? Or do you think He loved everybody in the Old Testament too? Well, there's a bunch of dead people in the Old Testament, aren't there? God loved. Well, anyway, here in Ephesians chapter 3, take a look, beginning at, let's begin at verse 14, where he says, Paul is speaking, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." All right, now we'll stop right there. Now let's go back up. In verse 14, we already have discussed what he meant when he said, "for this cause." That's on another tape, so you can go back and pick that up later on. But he says in verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now he talks in verse 17 about being rooted and grounded in love, and in verse 18 he talks about that we would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Now when he says breadth, length, depth, and height in verse 18, it's not only an issue of understanding and knowing the vast capacity of God's love. It's also understanding and comprehending what God has for you now in this life. Let's put it another way. God's plan, God's calling for you. See, acting or living in love, as he puts it here in verse 17, rooted and grounded in love, that is the only way that you are going to adequately be able to completely fulfill your calling. Because if you are walking outside of love, you're not going to be able to fulfill the totality of what He's called you to do. Now, the reason for this is because, well, actually the reason for this, we can kind of identify it back over there in John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So let's think of it like this. God's calling in life was in part to see to it that we would have the opportunity to be born again. Now, He fulfilled that because He loved us. For God so loved the world. God was walking in love. Walking in love enabled Him then to fulfill His calling, which was to send His Son to earth for the purpose of dying. Now, you've got to walk in love to do something like that. Especially when you consider the condition of all humanity. See, it wasn't just a matter that Jesus came down to earth and died for all the people there in the Middle East, in Jerusalem and Rome and all of that. But you understand there were other people alive on planet Earth at that time. There were people in China. There were people way down in Africa. There were people up in England and in Russia. There were people here in this continent, on this continent. I mean, there were people all over this planet. And so here's Jesus. He's over there, roughly, He's over there in Israel, all right? He's doing what He did over there, not just for those people, but for these people here. Because when Jesus is down here fulfilling what He's called to do, God the Father's up in heaven, and He doesn't just see those Romans. He doesn't just see the Jews. He can see all the people over here in North America, however many there were. He sees all the people down there in South America. Now, can you imagine how frustrating it must have been for Him knowing that a bunch of those people, they're going to die until He can move and until the people respond to His moving in their lives and they cross the continent with the gospel message? Can you imagine how many people died? Thousands and maybe millions. I don't have a clue how many people would have died before the gospel got over here. God loved everybody so much. He was walking in that kind of love that He was able to fulfill His call. Jesus, the same thing applied to Him. Moved with compassion, moved by compassion, and He fulfilled His calling. In fact, if you look over in John chapter 17, you can leave your finger. Are you still in Ephesians? Okay, leave your finger there and look over in John chapter 17. Let me show you something. Let's see here. In John chapter 17, Jesus is offering up this prayer on behalf of really not just the people who were there, but He's also lifting up this prayer on behalf of people in the future. He said, "I pray this not only for them that are here, but also for those who will end up believing because of their word." But if you look in verse 24, He says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, for Thou hast given Me, for Thou loved Me before the foundation of the world." And in verse 26, He says, "And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." In other words, can you see, really, in this one verse, this is the goal God's working at. It's not just to be born again. He wants to take us beyond a born-again experience and take us into the depth of His love. And the problem is, with our minds, we really cannot comprehend what that love is all about. The only kind of love that most people, most Christians, can honestly relate to is the kind of love that they have maybe with parents or with children. Or with spouse, or with other family members, or something like that. But when it comes to this God kind of love, quite honestly, the body of Christ has not really been trained or taught or pointed toward that kind of love, toward living in that kind of love. We've talked about anointing, and we've talked about glory, and we've talked about blessings, and all of these things are well and good, and they should be taught. But if God's goal is for us to know His love, we also then should have that as our goal. To not just mentally assent to the fact that it exists, but get in it. See? Get in it. Now, back over in Ephesians, he says in verse 19, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, keeping your place here, look over in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And if you look in verse 15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Now, doesn't that sound very similar to what Jesus prayed over there in John chapter 17? Well, he goes on here in verse 16 and says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love." Now, look at the rest of this. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now, if you still got your place over there in Ephesians and can pinch all those pages in between your fingers, look back over in verse 19, Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Can you see that, in essence, these verses are pointing toward the same goal? Dwelling in God, God dwelling in us. Not just a matter of being born again, but it's talking about an intimacy as far as this dwelling is concerned. And then in verse over there in Ephesians, it talks about being filled with all the fullness of God. See, if we're not pressing toward knowing His love, knowing Him, you can't know God without knowing love. God is love. So it's impossible to go deeper into God and not have a transformation into a greater level of His love and knowing that love. See, this, folks, this is where the power comes from, is love, His love. Not the kind of love that we come up with, but His love. You know, the Bible talks about working out your own salvation. The Bible talks about us maturing as Christians. Working out your own salvation, spiritual maturity, perfection as it's referred to in some places, this is really nothing more than going deeper into God's love. That's what it's all about. That's what spiritual maturity is all about. Remember Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit? Listen, we can say what we want, but if we still have some rotten apples hanging on our tree, those rotten apples aren't going to produce love. Anybody know the difference between a good apple and a rotten apple? First thing you notice is the stink, is it not? You better believe it. We used to have an apple tree in our backyard growing up. When those apple trees would fall off, Mom would want me to go out and pick up the apples. Oh, I could not stand that. I mean, that's one of those, you know, I'd almost rather go to the dentist than have to go out there and pick up those apples that fell off the apple tree. The way I wanted to deal with it was just let me get the lawnmower and just applesauce the yard, okay? Let's just go ahead and do that. No, you go out there and pick up those apples. And, you know, I'd go out there and you could smell, I mean, some were really getting fermented. You know what I'm saying? I'm picking up these apples, and every now and then, you know, you grab a hold of one that had been there for a while, and your fingers would sink into it, and just, you'd get all that apple goo. I mean, it was just a lousy, stinking, literally stinking job. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. An apple tree does not have as its goal to produce stinky, smelly apples. All right? They fall off, and they get rotten. And some of them even will rot on the tree. The body of Christ, we're not supposed to produce anything that's stinky smelly. But if we don't walk in love, you've got to understand, as far as God's concerned, it's stinky and it's smelly. And He doesn't want anything to do with it. And what's really sad is that when we, as Christians, oftentimes we will reach a level of what we see as success in ministry. And because things are going okay, bills are paid, and maybe the church is growing some or whatever. And it doesn't matter what your calling is, whatever your ministry is. I'm just using that one as an example. Get to a level of what we perceive to be a success. There can be a thought. And if you're called to pastor, when you get around other pastors, you'll begin to understand more what I'm saying here. Those of you that have been pastors, you may sense this, know what I'm talking about. You can get around pastors and they'll talk about things that are happening in their church. And you can tell they sense, I don't know if I want to use the word, there's an atmosphere of complacency about them. But they sense, I'm doing what God wants me to do. And it's almost like the success is the end. And the means was whatever it took to see what success is happening right now. From God's perspective, it does not matter what level of success it seems like we have. There is no end. We have a responsibility to go deeper and deeper and deeper into His love, to walk by that love. And again, this is, we honestly have to take a message like this, like this teaching that we've received so far in these messages, we really have to take this by faith. Because we only know the amount of love that we're walking in right now. We, by faith, have to believe that there are levels of love that few people in history have touched. But it's there. Because there is no end to the limits. There are no limits. There's no end to God's love. As long as we're alive on this earth, we can go deeper and deeper and deeper into that love and see the results of that depth being produced in our lives. Now, if you look again here in 1 John, it says in verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." Now, in verse 17, he says, the first part of it, he says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Well, if you look in verse 18, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Well, in verse 17, he's talking about having boldness in the day of judgment. Now, this boldness is directly related to our becoming more perfected, or put it like this, going deeper into God's love. Now, when he says to have boldness on the day of judgment, I'll put it like this. If your goal here on earth, and this, what I'm about to say might almost sound like I'm contradicting things that I've said in the past, but I'm not. Okay? If your goal is just to have more power and more anointing flowing through you to open blind eyes and get lame people to walk and deaf people to hear and all this other, if that's your goal, then you're missing it. God's goal is love. Now, when we go deeper into the love, that's where we find the anointing and the power. But see, if all I'm looking at is more power, more power, more power, my focus, my internal focus is, I just want more power. I was talking to God one time about that. I want more power, I want more power, I want more power. He asked me, why? Well, blind eyes, deaf ears, lame legs, God. I want to see them heal and all that. He asked me why. And you know what? I stopped and I thought, I answered back and I said, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. And I mean, I knew where he was headed on this, okay? And I said, well, you know, I know, Father, that the reason all those things happened when Jesus was here on earth was because of love. I know that. So I guess the reason that I want more anointing, more power, blind eyes, deaf ears, miracles, the reason I want that is to demonstrate your love. But I'm going to be honest with you, Father. Now let me clue you in. It's always good to be honest with God. He already knows. I said, but you know, God, I'm not really sure that that is my real motivation. I want my motives to be right in your eyes. I want my motives to be pure love. That's what I want. But I'm not sure that's what it is, Father. I'm not sure if my motives are something else, to get my name in lights so people know who I am. I mean, on the one hand, I want people to know who I am from the perspective of I want Christ in me, the hope of glory, to be demonstrated from that perspective. Okay. But I was saying, well, you know, God, I want my motives to be correct. I want my motives to be love, to demonstrate your love. That's what I want. But I'm not sure that's really what my motives are. And so, and you know, on the, you know, we just ought to know ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We ought to know what our real motives are. But I was just being honest with God, and I said, God, I'm not really sure what my motives are. I want them to be right before you, but I don't know if there's some kind of roots deep down on the inside of me that have the wrong motives. And so I want that changed. I want my motives to be your motives. You know, the Bible talks about that He'll give us the desires of our heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. I want Him to give my heart the right desires. That's what I want. And so, since that time, my prayer, my communication with Him has included, I want to be right before you. I want my motives to be right. I want my actions to be birthed out of those correct motives. I don't want to do something just thinking I'm doing it for the right reason. I really want it to be for the right reason. And God, I don't know that I can see that deeply into my heart, because I'm not really sure if there's something, you know, sunk down in there. So I want this stuff changed. I want it rooted out. There'll be times I'll be praying in the Spirit, and I'll talk to the Holy Spirit. I'm praying in tongues, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit at the same time on the inside. And I'm saying, if there is unlove in there, I want it rooted out. I want it gone. I want God's love to be the motivating factor in everything that I do. Help me out here with this, Holy Spirit. It's like the Bible says, when you don't know how to pray as you ought, because I can stand here and pray, oh God, you know, change my heart and all this other, but you know, I want to turn it over to God, and I want Him to help me out too in this. And so the motivation, the goal, is supposed to be love. Now He says here that we would have boldness in the day of judgment, meaning when we stand before Him on judgment day, there's going to be a boldness to stand there and say, you know, Father, I know this. I may not have done everything right, but the last 5 years of my walk with You, my goal was to go deeper into Your love. That's what I wanted, Father. That's what I truly wanted. A kind of boldness to where you don't have to stand before Him knowing. See, when you get up there, you can't play games. We might be able to buffalo each other. We might be able to buffalo the pastor or the evangelist or whatever. You can't do that to God. It's like when you stand before Him, you're going to know. I mean, now, by faith, we believe He can read our thoughts. But when we get up there, we're going to know. We're going to feel it. You know, we're going to feel His thoughts penetrating into ours, and we're going to know. He says, you walk in love. If that is your goal, to where His love is perfected on the inside of you, and you're continuing, pursuing a deeper level of His love, He says, you're going to have boldness on the day of judgment. You'll be able to stand there and say, Father, to the best of my knowledge, there was no motive but your love for everything that I did. And that doesn't just happen overnight. That is a maturing process, see. Now, in the latter part of this verse, he says, well, let's read the whole verse again. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, Jesus, talking about Jesus, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. Now, let me ask you something. If God is love, do you believe that means that Jesus is love?
Amen.
Obviously. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we know that the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, God, is love. You can't separate God from the Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit from love. Now, since Scripture says, because as He is, so are we in this world. Let me show you something. Here in verse 16, kind of in the middle of it, it says, God is love. If God is love, then Jesus is love. As He is, so are we in this world. Now, that presents an interesting statement or an interesting thought. If He's love and we are as He is, then doesn't that seem to say something about what's going on inside of us? Well, let me put it like this. The potential and the capacity for unlimited love is there. But it doesn't mean we walk in it. The capacity is there because as He is, so are we in this world. And when people say things like, well, you know, that's just not the way I am. Christians now, they say, well, you know, No, as He is, so are we. If He is love, that means I've got that love on the inside of me. And I can't make up excuses and say, I'm going to treat you ugly because, you know, well, I just can't do anything else. I don't know how to do anything else. Are you born again? Well, yeah, then you've got the nature of love on the inside. So it isn't that you can't. It's that you either don't want to, which really that's what it comes down to. Because when you're born again, that nature on the inside, that little voice of that nature says, hey, don't do that. That's mean. We can override that. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Because as He is, so are we in this world. All right, now that right there tells us, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that we have the capacity to love. The God kind of love. Not just the buddy kind of love. Not just the stand at the altar and say I do kind of love. The world's interpretation of what that means. The God kind of love. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, because the interpreters have put a capital S there, we just assume that the fruit of the Holy Ghost is all of those things. The very first one mentioned just happens to be love. And so we see capital S and we assume that they're talking about the fruit of the Holy Ghost is. So therefore, if I'm not demonstrating love, I can cop out on this and I can say, well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the Holy Spirit, for whatever reason, He just hasn't decided to move on me and produce that kind of love. So until He does, you're just going to have to put up with my ugly self. So I can be mean to you all I want. In other words, we're blaming God and saying, in essence, He doesn't want us walking in love. This word Spirit, it shouldn't be capital S. It should be small s, talking about your born again nature. Who you became the moment you were born again. Because it's not a matter of the Holy Ghost standing back saying, well, boy, you know, I'm caught up trying to, you know, minister love to all these people over here in the Middle East to put an end to all this junk. I don't have time for all you folks over here in the United States. So you're just going to have to do the best you can till I can finish this up over here and then come back and pay some attention to you. The moment as He is, so are we. Therefore, I have His nature. Whatever nature He has, non-deified, that's what we are, we're not deity. But whatever nature He has, that's what I have. Now, the fruit of that nature is love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, and all those others that are listed there. The fruit of my new spirit. First thing is love. So, if I'm not walking in love, then take a look in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's not talking walk in the Holy Ghost. He's talking walk according to who you became as when you got born again. As He is, so are you in this world. Walk according to that nature you received when you got born again and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I'm not demonstrating love, then I'm not walking in the Spirit. See? So let's just use percentages. Maybe we can relate to this a little bit better. 100% is walking in the perfect love of God in every situation in life. So if I'm walking in 60% of that love, that means I'm walking 40% in the flesh. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're not. You know what I'm saying? And fulfilling the lust of the flesh, that's just not murder and cheating on your spouse. So if I'm walking in 60% of that love, that means there's 40% of me that still needs a little bit of transformation. There's 40% flesh that still needs to be, you know, cut down. In other words, there's still 40% capacity to go deeper into God's love. Because the fruit of my new nature is as He is. So whatever I can imagine about Him, that's what I have the capacity to be here in this life. That is so incredible. You know what? That makes me feel good too. Because that means, as long as I'm down here, I've still got an image I can conform to. I mean, I've still got somebody that I can be molded into. And there's somebody on the inside of me that's going to help me do it too. He just didn't save me. He just didn't get me born again and leave me down here. He said, look, you turn me loose. Man, I will work day and night to cause you to conform more to the image of Christ. I'll do everything I can to help you become what you should be. Well, he says, the fruit of our new nature is all of these things. Now, if you look back over, I tell you what, keep your place right here in Galatians, and look back over in Ephesians at something. I'm going to point this out. It says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now we'll stop right there because we're going to focus on this 17th verse for just a moment. I want you to notice that here in the 17th verse, two words are directly connected, faith and love. You see that? He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, this is an interesting way that this is written. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, the way that's written, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, it's almost written like there is an assumption being made. You are rooted and grounded in love. Not, you will become someday rooted and grounded in love. What Paul's writing here, this is really, it's like it's a confession of faith over these people at this church. And he says, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Meaning, it's not a matter of you have to make a decision to do this thing now. It's a matter of this is how you are now. That's kind of the way this is written. That you already being rooted and grounded in love. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So in other words, there's a connection here between Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith and us being rooted and grounded in love. Well, we can see that connection back over here in Galatians. Look back over. Chapter 5. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by what?
Love.
By love. He says over there in Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, in other words, when it's talking about that Christ may dwell in your hearts, not that you can get born again by faith. It's talking about an intimacy, all right? That close-knit kind of fellowship. In other words, he's saying, look, there's no way that you, through your faith walk, there's no way that you're going to be able to have that kind of intimacy with Jesus unless you're rooted and grounded in love. And faith worketh by love. You can't separate the two. A lot of folks talk about, well, you know, my faith, I just don't have faith. I just wish I could get more faith. God, please give me more faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, I praise God for that. And it talks about how, you know, praying in the Holy Spirit builds you up on your most holy faith, and so we do that. But it tells us here that faith works by love. Now, I can tell you one thing. It's good to be focused to develop your faith. It's good to focus on word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And it's good to pray in the Holy Spirit because you will be built up on your most holy faith. And we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. But when our goal becomes to go deeper into His love, faith becomes a byproduct in that. And this is going to be tied all together and with a nice little bow here by the time we're finished with this. When the goal becomes love, faith becomes the byproduct of that, because faith works by love. So when you go deeper and deeper into His love, your heart begins to understand what that love is all about. Then you begin to understand how to live by faith. See, this is what Jesus did. He not only knew the love of God, He was demonstrating the love of God. And if anybody lived by faith, it was Jesus. See, He says faith worketh by love. Now, oftentimes, we're taught to use our faith to get blessings. And that's true. There's nothing wrong with that kind of teaching. Because we are supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. But I want you to see something. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Goes right along with this. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So verse 9 is making a reference to a prophecy in the Old Testament, but verse 10 is telling us how that, I'll put it like this, how that prophecy is being fulfilled. Before we were born again, we didn't have a clue what was going on. After we get born again, we have a spirit that's capable of receiving these things from God, receiving the understanding of these things. But I want you to notice at the end of verse 9, where he talks about that your eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it's not even entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Not for those that are born again, for them that love Him. Now turn over to James chapter 2. Because what I'm getting ready to show you and share with you right now is the reason why a lot of people in the body of Christ aren't walking in a lot of the promises and a lot of the blessings. In James chapter 2, look at verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? All right, now, where he says the poor of this world, it's not the people that are living on the streets. Remember what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. It's not talking about poor as in I have nothing. It's talking about poor as in my focus is not on the things of the world. That's not what I'm going after. That's not what I'm seeking. I'm not looking to amass a great amount of wealth here, a lot of money and a lot of possessions and all this other. That's what he's talking about when he says the poor of this world. He says, has not God chosen the poor of this world or those who do not have as their focus gain here on earth? That's not the goal of their life. But those who are rich in faith, well, what we learn about faith, faith works by love. And heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. It's not just a matter of being born again. Over there in 1 Corinthians, it's talking about all these things that God has promised to us, those that love him. Over here in James, we see how that heirs to the kingdom is connected with those that love him. In other words, let me kind of capsulize it like this. One of the reasons that a lot of Christians aren't living in the blessings that God has promised to the body of Christ is flat out, they're not walking in love. Because the deeper we go into God's love, the deeper we go into His blessings. And I can tell you right now, this is a major reason why a lot of folks in the body of Christ have struggled all their life. Now, that doesn't mean if you're going through problems right now that you don't love God, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about we have not been trained to go deeper into His love. And when love has been preached, most of the time it's just been a matter of be nice to people. And you're supposed to forgive. Okay, I'm nice to you and I don't punch you out because you did something mean to me. But you know on the inside, I'm really going to feel good if you have a flat tire on the way home. Because I'll just say, well, now see, you reap what you sow. You were mean to me, you got a flat tire. Oh, I'm sure that's just the way God feels about it, you know? The deeper we go into His love, the deeper we're going to go into those blessings, it will just happen. And it won't be something that we're going to have to... I mean, get this. Jesus needed some money, so He tells Peter to go fishing. He says, first fish, open its mouth, pull out the money, pay your tax and mine. He's walking in love. He didn't have, I mean, if he got hungry, he could have just said, okay, stones become bread. Either that or he could have walked over and taken somebody's Big Mac and divided it up among the apostles. It wouldn't matter. He was walking in love and therefore he was walking in the provision of God. Because that's where the greatest blessings, that's where the greatest provision lies. It's in God's love. Now, when we continue in this, we're going to see more and more of this opening up to us in God's Word, including what it's going to take to go deeper into God's love. And we're going to see these things in Scripture. It's going to become... And the thing that we need to do is to kind of reevaluate our goals. Anointing is great. We need it. Glory and power, it's great. We need it. We need it. Jesus had it. We need it. But the way to get there is to say, God, I want the glory, I want the blessings, I want the provision, I want the anointing, I want all of that. But most of all, I want to know you and your love. That's where I'm headed, God. That's where I'm headed. And right now, that's just a statement of faith because it is just so intangible. And with our minds, we just can't seem to understand what it really means. But we take that step of faith and say, this is what I want, God. And this is what I'm going to pursue. It's a love walk. A love walk. So go ahead and stand.